Thank you, ladies. I do want to welcome all of you here and welcome Joe and Emma's family visiting with us as a result of the wedding yesterday. And I would like to think that they drove all those miles just to come hear me preach, but that really isn't the case. They're here just so that they could be a part of the wedding. So good to have you. The book of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. The book of John, chapter 10. This morning, I want to preach a message on salvation through the Good Shepherd. Salvation through the Good Shepherd. Now, we have to pick up context here in the book of John. In John chapter 9, if you remember, we saw the story of the man who was born blind. Now, can everybody see me all right with these flowers here? All right? If anybody is blocked by that little branch right there, I can break that. But if not, we can be okay. All right. In John chapter 9, the man was born blind. The Lord did an incredible thing. He literally caused the man who was born blind to be able to see. I saw on a video this week, interesting clip about somebody giving their opinion why the man was healed by Jesus taking the spit and spitting on the clay, on the dirt, and taking the clay and wiping it on his hands, his eyes, and then putting it in the going into the pool of Siloam and washing it. And it made the suggestion, which is not an impossible suggestion, that just as God took the man and formed him out of the dust of the ground, Jesus, as God, was, in a sense, returning a portion of this man's eye back to him. And then when he washed in the pool of Siloam, that immediately took away the clay. So, I mean, that was an idea, but it certainly does show us that the Lord did a marvelous work. But the Scripture here does tell us that there was a spiritual application to this man who was born blind. We're told that the man not only was able to see physically, but in chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus, when he found out where this man was, said to him at the end of verse 35, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" So in other words, it wasn't enough just to have a physical healing. He needed a spiritual healing. The Scripture tells us that he answered, verse 36, "Who is it, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, verse 37, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." So here's this man who had never been able to see. At this point, looking at the face of Jesus, and Jesus said, "I'm the one that healed thee. And I'm the one that can give you eternal life." And the Bible tells us in verse 38, the Lord, he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. So he has a spiritual rebirth. Have you been spiritually born? Jesus talked to Nicodemus in chapter 3 and he said, "You must be born again." In applying blindness physically to spiritual blindness, this is why we have verses 39 through 41. Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see." Now, it's an interesting expression. People who are blinded spiritually cannot get it. But when they believe in Jesus, they're able to see, just like the blind man was able to see. But he goes on and says in verse 39, "And that they which see might be made blind." In other words, there are people who think everything's okay. Well, what a rude awakening that's going to be for them to die. And Matthew 7 puts it this way, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many marvelous work or miracles in thy name? And Jesus says to these people who are going to die and think they're okay, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They were blind. They thought they could see, but they were blind. Well, verse 40, some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? They got it. They recognized Jesus was pointing his finger at them. In verse 41, Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. In other words, if you would recognize your blindness, you could be free from your blindness spiritually. But now ye say, we see. Therefore, your sin still remains. Now, this story, we've touched on verses 39 through 41. This is the third week we've touched on those verses. But the story of the blind man takes us into chapter 10. And we see that in verse 21, when the conclusion of the discussion says, that can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Now, actually, what you're going to see is the discussion in verses 1 through 21 of chapter 10 is going to be at a different time chronologically than the discussion in verses 22 to the end of the chapter. But because of the same subject matter, there's going to be a connection. So it's an interesting thing that spiritual blindness needs to be dealt with, and that's by the Savior. So how is He going to do it? Well, Jesus puts it this way in verse 9 of chapter 10. I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he says there, and he'll go out and go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, he puts it this way at the end of that verse. I am come that they might have life. Now the Bible tells us that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have life. He that believeth not of the Son of God, 1 John chapter 5 tells us you have not life. But the Scripture says if you're saved, in other words, you were blind, and now you see, you have life. But not only life, you have abundant life. And that's why he says at the end of verse 10 that you might have it more abundantly. That's an interesting word. Actually, we're told in Ephesians chapter 3, it's translated exceedingly abundant. It's an exceptionally exceeding life. I feel bad for people who do not have eternal life. Not only because they don't get to go to heaven, but they are, as all men, most miserable. The way of the transgressor is hard. And Jesus is saying, you can have not only life, you can have abundant life. So Jesus is telling us here that salvation comes through Him who is, number one, the door, and number two, the Good Shepherd. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would work in our hearts. Lord, if there be somebody that does not know Christ as their Savior, may they have their eyes opened for Jesus' sake. Amen. Verses 1 through 5, Jesus gives a parable. Now, we're told it's a parable in verse 6. Now, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so here you are hearing the preacher get up and he starts talking about sheep. What does he say? Verse 1, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not but by the door into the sheepfold. Now, we have to understand a little bit of Eastern custom here. To really understand what Jesus is talking about here, it's important that we understand the nature of shepherding, as opposed to we in our country, we will round up cattle or those kind of things, ranch horses or whatever. But really, we know very little about shepherding. What they did in the Middle East, and if you go to Israel today, there are still shepherds there. And they will literally take a shepherd who has a herd of sheep, and sometimes they'll take several herds of sheep with different shepherds, and they put them in a sheepfold. And this is the idea here when he says that they enter into the sheepfold. Now, the sheepfold was really, because there was not a lot of lumber to use, if you were to travel in Israel, you'll see that there's something they have an abundance of. Rocks. Rocks everywhere. And it's an interesting thing, so they would literally build a sheepfold out of stones. Now, if you can imagine a sheepfold, and this would kind of give you an idea. So here we have, let's begin right here, and we'll say to both of these pews, and let's do this square, and we'll take it up to where the doors are and come across, and you have stones maybe as high as, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 feet high, and there is no roof. And where there is no roof, the only way you can get in and out of that sheepfold is through one door. And let's let this be the door. So if you can imagine walking into a sheepfold of stone wall all the way around, and the only way in and out is through this door. Now, I have an interesting story to give you an idea of how this works. G. Campbell Morgan tells about the time he traveled across the ocean when they didn't necessarily have flights. And he traveled across the oceans with a man who he says was George Adam Smith, and Sir George Adam Smith. And he said, "I'll never forget the fascination of that voyage as he talked of those eastern lands he knew so well." Well, one story he tells was this. He was one day traveling with a guide and came across a shepherd and his sheep. He fell into conversation with him. The man showed him the fold into which the sheep were led at night. So just like I just described to you. And he says that it consisted of four walls with a way in. Sir George said to him, "This is where they go at night?" And he said, "Yes," said the shepherd. "And when they are in there, they are perfectly safe." Well, Sir George said, "But there's no door." How could the sheep not get out when there was just an opening? And he said, the shepherd told him, "I am the door." He was not a Christian man. He was not speaking the language of the New Testament. He was speaking from the Arab shepherd's standpoint. Well, Sir George looked at him and said, "What do you mean that you are the door?" Well, the shepherd said, "When the light has gone and all the sheep are inside, I lay in that open space, and no sheep ever goes out but across my body, and no wolf comes in unless he crosses my body. I am the door." Jesus is saying here in verse 1, in talking about the sheepfold, He said, now in this sheepfold, the only way in and out is through that door. And he says, but no one enters in and comes out except through that door. Verse 2, and he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the porter, or the assistant to the shepherd, openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. So Jesus gives this parable. They didn't understand it, verse 6. So then Jesus in verse 7 says, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now the thief, he cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, I want you to see a few things here regarding salvation. Number one, I want you to see the way to salvation. The way to salvation is only through Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the door, verse 9, and if any man come in, he shall be saved. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? He says that, you know, the only way that a person can have his sins forgiven, so that all that was blind is now sight, is by coming through Jesus Christ. Jesus put it in different ways, didn't he? In John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, friend, if you don't hear another thing I'm saying here today, and that is this, Jesus is the only way to have all your sins forgiven, so that when you die, you can go to heaven. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Buddha. It's not through your church. It's not through some ritual. It's not through your good deeds. It's only through Jesus Christ. We must enter in through Jesus Christ. Now, how do you do that? The Bible tells us that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says you are blind. Why are you blind? Because you are in sin. And as a sinner, you deserve to go to hell when you die. And as a sinner on your way to hell, the only hope you have is not through some church, not through some religion, not through some man, but only through Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I am the door. And that's why he says that it's not by any other way. Others that are thieves and robbers, that's an interesting expression. Thieves are refers to that which would be of deception. Robbery has to do with that which would be harmful in stealing. Now, there is a lot of deceptive people out there. They're telling you that the way to heaven or the way to get to God is to have a better self-image, or to start being religious. No, Jesus says, I am the door. And there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Number two, we see in this passage the provision of salvation. In verses 11 and following, he says, I am the good shepherd. Now, it's an interesting thing. A shepherd has to understand his sheep, and a shepherd has to know his sheep. As a matter of fact, he had already used the illustration and said that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. If somebody comes along and says, "Hey, come here," they will not follow them because they must know their shepherd. And the Scripture tells us here that Jesus says, and literally, "I am the shepherd, the good one. I'm the one that is not the bad shepherd." You know, what does a bad shepherd do? Well, verse 12, "He that is an hireling." Now, this is somebody who's getting paid a certain amount of money to help watch the sheep for the shepherd. Well, they're in it for the bucks. And the Bible tells us here that, in verse 12, that whose the sheep are not. So what happens when a wolf comes? Oh! You know, I hear this hireling, you know, he says, oh no, you know, and they're starting to protect themselves and they may go hide somewhere. And we're told in verse 12, they see the wolf coming and they leave the sheep and they flee. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Friend, be very, very careful about people who say they care about you spiritually and they'll ruin you. They'll destroy you. They don't care about you. They may want your money. They may want your recognition of them being a great person. The Bible tells us here that these people are not the shepherd. So verse 13, the hireling fleeth. Why? Because he's a hireling. He's in it for the bucks. He doesn't care about those sheep. Verse 13. He said, "Not me. I'm a shepherd. I'm the good one. I'm the good shepherd." And it's an interesting thing. Jesus is a shepherd. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? I think of Psalm 23. How many know that? Where the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And he goes on and describes how the shepherd takes care of him. Now, who wrote that psalm, by the way? Did he know anything about shepherding? Just a little shepherd boy. Only a boy named David. You know, and he was that little boy, but he was a shepherd. And what does the Bible say what happened one time? He uses this story in order to be able to fight against Goliath. What happened one time when a lion and a bear came against his sheep? He fought the lion and the bear and he killed them. You see, the shepherd takes care of the sheep. The Lord Jesus cares for you. The Lord Jesus knows your needs. You know, and He is not somebody who's going to leave you or forsake you. The Bible tells us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He knows our needs. He knows our where we need to go. And He knows how to lead us. And we wonder about God's will. And how in the world are we going to deal with the issues of life? The Lord is our shepherd. And the Lord said, "You know what? You come to me for salvation, and I will be your shepherd. I will take care of you. I will meet your needs." Because Jesus is good. And it's also interesting because there's a lot of people who call themselves sheep. But they're not God's sheep. Sometimes the person said, "Well, God's never taken care of me." Well, then you're not one of His sheep. The reality is, if you are a believer in Christ, you know His voice, and He knows you. He walks close to you. Now, how is it that some people call themselves sheep, and they never, ever seem to have anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? They never read their Bible. They never pray to the Lord. You know, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? The Bible says that in verse 4 there, that they follow Him, how? Because they know His voice. We're told in verse 8 that the sheep doesn't hear the voice of the thieves. We're told in verse 14 that I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and they are known of mine. Now, why is it that some people call themselves Christians and they don't know the name, they don't know the voice of the Lord? It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Many will say to me in that day, we quoted it, Lord, Lord, and He said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, that those who live unrighteously do not know Him. We're told in the book of 1 John chapter 3, let's turn there, 1 John chapter 3, that in this passage of Scripture, that those who say they know the Lord really don't know the Lord. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6 tells us, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither know Him. Let no man deceive you, little children. Verse 7. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Remember, we saw that in John 8, 48:4. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. But for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, we've looked at this verse in different occasions, but it's an interesting thing because the Scripture tells us that those who know the Lord respond to the Lord. And those who do not know the Lord have nothing to do in their life with the Lord. And the passage of Scripture is telling us not sinless perfection, because in the 1 John chapter 1, verse the first chapter, it says, he that saith he hath no sin is a liar. So what does that mean? That means that a person who knows the Lord, it says there, is known of Him, and they do not make sin part of their lifestyle. They do not practice ongoing habitual sin without regard to God. Now Jesus said, I am the door. And if you come through me, I will shepherd you. And I will help you. And if any man be in Jesus Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it's important that we understand that Jesus has given His life for you and me. John chapter 10, let's come back to that. In John chapter 10, notice what He says there. He says that verse 18, no man taketh, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. Now it's interesting, isn't it? No one killed Jesus. Jesus did not die because He was a victim of the circumstances. No, He willingly, verse 18, laid down His life for Himself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. Did He do that? He sure did. The Bible tells us that Jesus, when He He laid down his life. He let those men kill him. And then he walked out of the grave. And the Bible tells us that Jesus said, "This is what I did for you." Now, what's interesting to me is this. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, verse 32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things?" He's your shepherd. He cares for you. He watches over the flock. He leads you beside still waters. And everyone in here that knows Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's something going on between you and Jesus. Because He knows your voice, and you know His voice. But there are those who come along and say, "Well, I know the Lord." No, you don't know the Lord. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the provision of salvation. But notice the extent of salvation. Look at John chapter 10, verse 10. Verse 16, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold." Have you ever wondered what he's talking about there? What do you mean, not of this fold? In other words, you're talking about this, you know, "My sheep hear my voice." He said, "But not every one of them is from you guys." The Jewish people, the disciples. In verse 16, he says, "That other I have that I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." What he's talking about here is that Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world." I'm glad that you do not have to be Jewish to go to heaven. Jesus basically says, "I am making this offer to be the good shepherd of all men, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So Jesus died for you. And if He died for you, wouldn't He naturally want to take care of you? And He's offered salvation to you. "And whosoever believeth in Him," have you been saved? Has it had an impact on your life? Do you talk to Jesus? Does he talk to you? Jesus said, "Those who are my followers and those who are part of me have a relationship with me." But notice the permanence of salvation. Now we go to a different time frame here, but we see it in chapter 10, in verse 27. And again, as we've been trying to say, my sheep do what? Hear my voice. So don't claim this promise unless you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them," and what do they do? He said, wait a minute. You mean that if you pray and ask Jesus to save you, that you got to start living for Him? Yes, you do. "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." In verse 28, so what does He give? "I give unto them eternal life." Now that's a wonderful thing. That means that we're talking about life that will never end. It's eternal life. Now, I was saved in a church that taught me that you better keep your guard up, because if you don't watch it, you're going to go to hell. But I said, "Well, what do you do with this verse? Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life." But then He says, "And they shall," what's the next word? Never perish. See, it makes a big difference when you come to Jesus as the way to save you, Because he provides for you as the good shepherd, and you know his voice, and he knows you, and you are following him, and you're not perfect, but you're trying to live for him, and you're trying to do what God wants you to do. And Jesus says, you're mine. You have life forever. You will never perish. You say, yeah, but what if somebody comes along and tricks me? And Jesus said, no. Verse 28, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, nobody can come along and take Jesus away from me. Now, if it was up to me in keeping it, then I'd be in trouble. But Jesus says, I'm going to keep you. So we see in this passage of Scripture, are you following me? The way of salvation. Number two, the provision for salvation. Number three, the extent of salvation to all people. The permanence of salvation. So what is necessary to have salvation? You've got to accept it. And that's why in verse 19, there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Did they accept him? No. He's got a devil. But others said, these are not the words of them that have a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And Jesus in verse 25 says, I told you. Because they said to him, are you the Christ? In verse 25, Jesus says, I told you, and you believed not. Now, friend, listen to me. You say, oh, that's not a very entertaining sermon. You don't need entertainment, friend. You need Jesus. You've got to believe in him. And the moment you, by faith, put your complete confidence in him, he becomes your good shepherd. Kind of walks with you. He deals with you. Sometimes disciplines you. You know, I've heard stories of shepherds who've literally had to break the legs of a rebellious sheep because they wouldn't follow. Sheep are pretty dumb animals. Am I right, Sarah? They're pretty dumb animals. I watched a documentary once, and it was a bunch of sheep walking toward a cliff. I thought, that sheep's going to fall off. And it did. But what was really bizarre is the others just followed them off. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And Jesus says, I want you to be saved. And the only way you can be saved is to accept me and to take me in your life. And that's why the Bible says in many different occasions, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All we have to say is, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I need to be saved. Then he says, okay, I'll now take care of you. He's the great shepherd of our soul, 1 Peter 5 tells us. And it doesn't matter what your nationality is. You don't have to be Jewish. You don't even have to be from Michigan. He'll save you. And it's a keeper. He'll never let you go. Why not believe in him? Really, if there's somebody here, you're saying, I don't know if I want to do that. Why not? Why not? Let Jesus be your shepherd. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would work in the hearts of those that are here this morning. I pray, Father, that those of us who have accepted Christ would pray diligently at this time, because there are people that need Jesus. Father, for those of us who have accepted you, the Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to understand that you care for us. You take care of us. You're our provider. You watch over us. You lead us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I pray that you would be with someone here today that is struggling because of the cares and the worries of this world. Help them, Lord, to lean upon their good shepherd. I pray, Father, that if there be somebody here that needs to accept Christ, that they would be saved. And we'll praise you for it. For Jesus' sake. And with our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. No one looking around. Christians praying. The pianist is going to play an invitation song, giving you an opportunity to respond. This is what I'm asking you to do. If you do not know you're saved, I'd love to be able to show you from the Bible how Jesus died for your sin. He was buried. He rose again. And if you would, by faith, take Him to be your Savior, He can change your life and He will give you that intimacy, that closeness, that love that maybe you so long to have. As the pianist plays, God dealing with your heart, you come.